diversity. It often tends to be dismissed as an empty political or corporate buzzword. Because while many would say, yes, diversity is great, it's kind of hard to find examples of it around in certain spaces. Take, for example, our federal leaders. A new report says that based on the current pool of candidates, our next parliament will not be representative of the population when it comes to things like gender, ethnic backgrounds and physical abilities. The report is by the think tank, the Mackell Institute, and its executive director for Queensland is Mariana O'Gorman, and she joins me now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patricia. Lovely to be here.
In the interests of full disclosure to our listeners, you describe yourself as a progressive and independent think tank, but many former ALP members are in your leadership and the media generally describe you as Labor-aligned. So just so people know, that's where you're coming from. But let's just get to what you've done here with this work. How does having a more diverse parliament actually help broader society?
Well, I think when you look at the policies that come from parliament, really, if it's not representative of the demographics of Australia, it really can't deliver on a policy agenda that meets the needs of everyday Australians. We are seeing increasing diversity when it comes to female representation. So this election, we're looking at about 37% of candidates are female. That compares to about 32% at the last election, but unfortunately compares to about 50% of the population. So progress is being made, and I think you can see that in some of the policies like paid parental leave, like funding for domestic violence, pay equality, that have all attracted a lot of attention and made a lot of progress over the last 10 years. Other areas where the parliament's not as representative, only 2% of candidates running for the major parties for the lower house this election are Indigenous. Only 1% have a disability. And I think, you know, if people look at, say, Closing the Gap initiative, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. And if we did have a more representative parliament within a greater Indigenous voice, I think that that wouldn't be the case.
Okay, so let's look at what your report's found in terms of the figures. You've talked about the percentage of women running. How about other groups, for instance, ethnically and culturally diverse backgrounds? How did you define that firstly, and what did you find?
Yeah, so we looked at what the Australian Human Rights Commission has used in their previous reports for senior leadership in the Australian business community. And we found that about 1 in 10 parliamentarians or candidates running for parliament at this election for the major parties are from culturally diverse backgrounds, which is wildly unrepresentative of the Australian population. The Australian Human Rights Commission says it's about 24% of the population that people from these backgrounds comprise of.
So 24% of the population, says the Australian Human Rights Commission, but it's 10% for the main parties. So that includes, you know, Labor, Liberal and some of the other major parties, right? Or the minor parties,
yeah, so
right?
Labor. Well, it's just for the major parties that we've looked at because, you know, if you look at the current parliament, you know, 95% of the parliament is made up of the major parties, the Labor Party, the Liberal Party and the National Party. So that's where we really focused our research. And, yeah, it's about 1 in 10 candidates, which means that issues like racial discrimination or issues like, say, refugees and immigration, I think maybe aren't getting some of the voice that they would be getting if we did have a more culturally diverse parliament.
How about people with disabilities? Because I know this has become a bigger issue in recent times. Of course, we've just seen this Royal Commission launched. What do your figures show in relation to that?
So we're really lagging behind when it comes to people with disabilities. About 1% of candidates for the major parties have a disability, and that compares to about 18% in the Australian population. And really, that is woefully unrepresentative, and particularly when we're rolling out policies like the National Disability Insurance Scheme that affect the lives of every person with a disability. And I think until you've, you know, tried to catch a bus, you've tried to enter the workforce, you've tried to go to school with a disability, you don't really understand the needs of people with a disability, and you can't legislate in a way that best accommodates for those needs. And we've seen Senator Jordan Steele, who is a Green senator, who's in a wheelchair, and was elected to Parliament. And when he entered Parliament, he couldn't get through the doors. He couldn't vote because you have 4 minutes from when the bell rings until when you get onto the Senate chamber, and he couldn't wheel himself there quick enough. He couldn't sit with his colleagues. He couldn't access the toilet. So it's not just a discussion about how do we ensure that a more diverse group of people are able to run for Parliament, but how do we make them feel welcome and included so that they actually want to stay and contribute to things like you just mentioned, the Royal Commission into people with a disability and abuse. And that's something that senator has really been a passionate advocate for.
And how do we compare to other parliaments in comparable democracies when it comes to these issues, cultural diversity, gender diversity?
So we really have focused on Australia, although we did have a look at cultural diversity in some comparable countries like Canada, the UK and the US, and we found that we're lagging behind all of those cabinets. You might have seen that the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, when he announced his cabinet, it was 50% female male, and it was very ethnically diverse. And, you know, when he announced that cabinet, he said, I want to announce a cabinet that looks like Canada. And when he was asked, well, why? He said, because it's 2015. And I think that kind of leadership, and you saw the same with Obama, who announced an incredibly ethnically diverse cabinet with a lot of women in it. And I think when you have that top-down leadership, it really changes the discussion, and it changes everything from the top down in government. And I think it influences the private sector as well.
Mariana, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Mariana O'Gorman is Executive Director of the think tank the Mackell Institute in Queensland. And I wonder what you make of this diversity question. Does our parliament look like Australia? Should it look more like Australia?